This morning, God's word comes to us from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to read just the first 11 verses of this chapter. 2 Corinthians 1, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many may give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to take your Trinity Psalter hymnal once again and turn to the back section to page 872 in the back of the hymnal. This is the Heidelberg Catechism, one of the three doctrinal standards of our church. And this morning we're going to read from Lord's Day 1, just question and answer 1. I will read the question, we'll respond together with the answer. So from page 872, Lord's Day 1, question and answer 1. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and has delivered me from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, also assures me of eternal life, and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. Well, this morning we are going to begin a new series of sermons on the Word of God as it is summarized for us in the Heidelberg Catechism. We, along with many other Reformed churches, have a tradition of catechetical preaching, of doctrinal instruction. And in our particular church, the Heidelberg Catechism is our main teaching tool. Whenever we begin a new series on the catechism and catechetical preaching, I always feel like I have to do a little bit of an explanation and perhaps even a defense for why we're going to look at the Catechism every Lord's Day for the next year and a half or so. The most natural response to that would be, isn't the Bible enough? Why do we have to turn to something else beside the Word of God? Well, catechetical preaching helps us in many ways. Catechetical preaching links us to the past. As a federation of churches, we are a very young federation, just over 30 years old. That's not very old for a federation. And while we may be young as a federation, the truth, the doctrines which we embrace are very, very old. These are truths that have lived throughout the years, and they are formulated for us in our confessions, formulated for us in the Heidelberg Catechism. We recognize we are not the first ones to deal with these matters. Who is God, and what does it mean that He is our Father? Who is Jesus Christ, and what does it mean that He is our Savior? Who is the Holy Spirit, and what is His work in our lives? How do we understand coming to the sacraments? How do we use the law of God? We're not the first ones to ask these questions, but answers have been given. We stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. We don't have to feel the need to rediscover the truth. But God, in His providence, has had those who have written down these truths for us to help us. Catechetical preaching links us with the past. Catechetical preaching gives us great hope for the future. I started preaching in this church a little over 9 years ago, but it was the same truth that was preached the 20 years before me, and before that, and after I'm gone. The same biblical truth will come from this pulpit. Our doctrine does not change when the minister of the word changes. We have great hope for the future that as God is merciful and gracious to us, that our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren are going to hear the same biblical truth. Catechetical preaching links us to the past, it gives us hope for the future, and it gives us direction right now in the present. What does the Word of God say to us today? Catechetical preaching keeps ministers from getting on their own hobby horse, their own favorite topic. Maybe the minister becomes enamored with eschatology, the end times, and then for 6 or 8 months or a year, we have sermons on Daniel and Revelation only. Catechetical preaching helps us to see the full counsel of God. It gives balance to the ministry of the Word. It is a blessing for us to use the catechism as a preaching tool. Again, one of the most common objections to catechetical preaching is, but the catechism, it's only the word of man. It's not the word of God. And that's true. Catechetical preaching, the catechism, is the words of man. It is not inspired. It is not infallible. It is not inerrant. But we don't drive a wedge between the truth that we read in the catechism and the truth that we read in God's word. The one flows from the other. The truth of the catechism flows from the fact that it is faithful to the Word of God. Our doctrine is not separate from what the Bible teaches, but it is a biblical doctrine. And so every Lord's Day, our topic, our theme might be directed by the truth of the catechism, but we will look at the text of Scripture. What does God's Word say about this? And the catechism will give some illumination to that. Our catechism is thematically based. There's a theme in the Heidelberg Catechism. Now, I suppose the authors could have chosen any number of themes. They could have chosen the theme of covenant, God's particular relationship with his people. They could have chosen the theme of kingdom, how we live as citizens in Christ's kingdom in all areas of life. They could have chosen the theme of creation and fallen redemption. The theme that the authors chose for the catechism is the theme of comfort. How are we comforted by God? And what does that look like? Even as we understand the doctrines given to us in Scripture, how does this biblical, theological truth comfort us and give us assurance? We're going to talk in the next weeks and months together about the comfort we receive from God, our only comfort in life and in death. Paul talks about comfort as he addresses the Corinthians. And we recognize that comfort is often given in the context of difficulty. When everything is going well in our lives, we don't think we need the comfort. Everything's great. But when trial comes, when difficulty comes, when affliction comes, now we look for comfort. Paul says in verse 8, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death." That was Paul's experience. And yet he says, even then, God is a God who comforts us. Paul, later in this letter, will describe more of his affliction in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He will say, "I have had far more imprisonments with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there was the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches." Paul knew hardship. Paul knew difficulty. And yet he speaks at the beginning of this letter of the comfort that comes from God, the comfort he gives to his people. When we think about the way in which God comforts his people, there are really at least 2 ways in which God brings comfort. One is God comforts us by taking us out of the difficulty. We just sang about that in Isaiah 40. God taking his people out of the difficulty. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended and her iniquity is pardoned." She's been taken out of the difficulty. Later in Isaiah chapter 61, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them the beautiful headdress instead of ashes. God takes us out of the difficulty. That's a way in which he comforts us. That's not the comfort Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. There are times when God comforts us by taking us out of the difficulty. But there are also times when God comforts us by his presence with us in the difficulty. We are comforted knowing that even though we are going through trial, even though we are going through hardship, we are not going through it alone. But our God is there with us. The particular word for comfort that Paul uses throughout this chapter has the idea of coming alongside of being with someone, being with them, to comfort them in the trial. We think of the words of Psalm 23, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Psalmist doesn't say that we won't walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But when we do, God himself is with us. This is the comfort that we celebrate. This is the comfort we receive from God. In times of trial, in times of hardship, we are not there alone. But our God comforts us because he is with us. Which reminds us that our comfort does come from God himself. He is the source of comfort. We often want to look for comfort in many other places. We look for comfort in the things of this life. Perhaps we look for comfort at the bottom of a bottle. Perhaps we look for comfort in certain relationships that we have. Perhaps we look for comfort in large bank accounts. We look at all these other things. But none of them can bring true comfort. None of them can truly satisfy. The only way we can have comfort in this life is to know God, because he is the source of comfort. What does Paul say in verse 3? "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction." Blessed be our God and Father, a Father who comforts us. As human fathers, we want to do all that we can to provide for our children, to protect our children, to care for our children. God, our Father, does that for us. And while we as human fathers are not always able to do so, God always is. God is almighty. There is nothing he cannot do. There is no difficulty he cannot take us through. We have a Father who loves us and cares for us because of his Son, Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In him, we are brought into a relationship with that Father. That's how our confession begins. "What's your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong. I belong body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, the work of God the Father through His Son to bring us into fellowship with Him. And that is our only comfort. The catechism doesn't say, what's a comfort in life and death? What is your only comfort in life and in death? Paul says He comforts us in life. He comforts us in all our afflictions. There is nothing too difficult for God. He comforts us in all our afflictions. When we are dealing with health care issues that seem insurmountable, God is with us and comforts us. When we stand at the graveside of a loved one and the despair seems so deep, God is with us and comforts us. He comforts us in all our afflictions. When we don't know what the future holds, when we don't even want to take one more step forward, our God comforts us. He knows our pain through His Son, Jesus Christ. He comforts us in life, and He comforts us in death. Paul says, verse 9, indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. God has delivered us in the past, and He will deliver us by taking us through right now. And so our reliance is on Him, our reliance in life and our reliance in death. We are those who were under the death sentence because of our sin. Our sin, which was an offense against this holy God, an offense against this righteous Father, a sin that we could do nothing about. And rather than condemning us to death, God would send His own Son, Jesus Christ, and He would go to death to pay the price that we might have life. That is comfort. That is comfort from God the Father, that He would give up His own Son that we might be comforted. Our confession says, He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood and has delivered me from the tyranny of the devil. God in Jesus Christ has done everything necessary in this life and the life to come. Our comfort is found in Him, our only comfort in life and in death from God Himself. Paul says, verse 4, God comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. We are comforted for a purpose, not simply for our own comfort, but so that we might minister to others, that God might use our experiences, our difficulties, to reach out to others with a word of hope, with a word of assurance that God has not forgotten His own, with the reminder of the promises of God that He will be with His people forever. When we have fellow believers who are going through difficult times, we can bring them assurance from the Word of God. He has not forgotten you. His promises never fail. I can attest to it. He has delivered, and He will deliver. And so our hope is in Him. Our confession says, He assures me of eternal life. He assures me that He will always be with me in this life and the life to come. We reach out with words of comfort and promise from the Word of God to minister on behalf of God to those who are going through difficulties. That's what we do for fellow believers. What about our our colleagues at work, our colleagues down the street, how do we reach out to non-believers? We reach out to them with the word of comfort in the gospel. We reach out to them and in no way minimize what they are going through, but let them know the only hope, the only comfort in this life and the life to come is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We call them to faith and repentance. As that call goes out again this morning, to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you are trying to find comfort outside of God, there is no comfort there. The only comfort in life and in death is knowing God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And He calls you today to put your trust in Him. We reach out with the words of the gospel to bring words of hope and comfort and assurance to those who have perhaps never heard them before. We are comforted that we may comfort others. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to Him, Christ, by His Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. That is our comfort. And so we say with the apostle, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction." Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, You are great and You are glorious and You are majestic, and You have left for us a faithful word, a word in which You promise to be with Your people. There are times, O God, where You quickly take us through difficulties, and we praise You for that. But there are also times, O God, where we are in the difficulty and we might feel alone, and You know, You let us know that we are never alone, that You are always there with us to comfort and to care. Lord God, may we know that truth, may we embrace that truth and live that truth every day of our lives as we reach out with words of hope and comfort to those around us, those inside the church and those outside the church, directing all to Jesus Christ and the promise of salvation and the promise that You will never leave us and You will never fail us. Lord God, accept our praise, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.